Welcome to Visionaries Global Media, your number one source for podcasting entertainment. Visionaries Global Media, envisioning excellence on a global scale.
Dungeons & Junkies presents Alex's Campaign, Episode 11, Hacked Chance.
I'm Alex, and this is the Game Junkies.
I'm Matt! No, I'm not.
So this one's a little different. Obviously, in the season final, we all assumed Eli was dead, and she came back. So I imagine that's brought many questions to why she's back, and this is going to answer that. So because we do it anyway, Caitlin, who are you playing today?
I'm Eli, the person who got their head pulled off a while ago. So, you know, had a lot of time to reflect on my life choices.
Yes.
And I am a monk. I'm a human monk. Well, I was. Now I am a human monk warlock. Or I will be after this.
Right, so let's recap. Obviously, in the last session, from Eli's memory, you finally arrived in New Atlas and did a bit of recon and ended up going to the warehouse where Powercake was believed to have been found. You found him in the basement with notes from an assassination plan, and you found him quite badly injured after a fight with a group of paladins. So you took the opportunity to attempt to kill him. And just to shit on your parade, Hayden teleported him out of there. And to prove his point, not only did he kill Reed's aunt with a 180 twist and yanking it straight off with some strength you didn't realize he had up until recently, he took your head clean off and sent the parade to the sewers where they blacked out. But that stuff isn't relevant yet because you don't know about it yet. Yeah, you do.
I don't know who that is.
Back to the future. Right. So we started this session with something quite odd. Obviously, you see nothing, you hear nothing, you feel nothing, you're gone. But as if like deja vu from seeing the vision of ancient Atlas, you wake up in the town centre again, but alone this time. None of your companions are there. You're just in this ancient elven city by yourself.
It's still attached to my body.
Yes, your head is back where it was.
Eli is so confused. Is it the same town square? Like,
yeah, the one that you had after collecting the staff and jumping through the portal. You appear to be back in that same town again.
Huh. The fuck? I'm pretty sure... I mean, if all my victims come here when I kill them, that's kind of annoying. It's so much effort. Come on.
You can have inspiration.
Just being a sadist. I guess I look around, trying to judge, like, if there's anything.
You can make me an investigation check.
That is an 11.
You look around, it looks exactly the same as last time. As it does last time you were here, you can see the arena down the mountain that stands out like a sore thumb.
Oh yes, the place where I saw the vision of all my dead friends. Fun times. Really need to go on better holidays. I'm probably going to go towards the Colosseum because I recognize it. And it's, I don't know, it's a known evil rather than an unknown evil.
Alright, as you head down to the Colosseum, you start to hear chanting.
Oh, fuck!
It sounds very distant, and as you come closer, it gets louder and louder.
I realise I don't have my sword, and I'm like, oh god! Just fists up. I guess I'm gonna peek into wherever the chanting is coming from.
The chanting is loud, and as you look through, the Colosseum is completely empty, yet chanting in all but sounds demonic. Nothing seems to be there. It's ever so loud, but no one's here.
Is this hell? I've gone to hell, guys.
And as you walk into the centre, as if like last time, your vision flashes white and your ears start to ring. And as you look up into the sky, as your vision comes back to normal, the town around you has collapsed again and the sky is dark and gloomy. And the islands that are around you and the continents all start to come closer again. As the world burns once again.
Well, that's a bad thing, yes. Is the chanting still going, despite this?
No, the chanting stopped.
Oh, thank God, at least something's...
As you turn around, just trying to work out what the hell is happening, you come full circle and see that not only Lauren and Quentin are there, but all your companions are there, dead, on the floor. But this time, unlike last time when they had bad wounds, this time there is no wounds.
I'd probably approach Lauren's body, or like try to. Just kind of try and guess, try and figure out what killed her.
What do I call that medicine on this? Call it medicine, actually.
Your god, whatever you want.
Yeah, call it medicine.
13.
You look over Lawrence, it looks like she's been strangled.
Her light is angry. Don't touch the waifu.
As you... Just...
My child.
As you sort of take a look around them, Lauren looks like she's been strangled. The rest, they look intact, like you can't work out what the hell has happened to them. It's just Lauren's that is obvious.
I'm very confused how someone managed to kill Picasso. Just poke the shell like, he's fucking massive, how did you do that?
And then your vision flashes white again, but this time it's completely different. As your vision comes back to normal, all the buildings around you are covered in greenery and trees have sprouted and the sky is blue. Birds chirp, crickets go, and it's peaceful. But your companions are gone.
Have I fallen into a time vortex or something? What is this shit? Is a 3-foot rabbit gonna come talk to me? Is there like a path?
No, there's no path, but if you look around, you can see at the top of the town where the church was when you first got here, there's a massive tree that stands out a lot taller than the others.
I'm gonna go climb a tree. Because I'm a squirrel.
As you make it back up the town, you see something you don't expect. You see your dad and your mother. They look lifeless, but they're sat there just staring at you.
Hi.
There is no response.
Well, this is unsettling. I would probably like shift around them. In like staying as far away as possible.
So your intention is to climb the tree?
Yeah, just get a view.
I will say their faces do not follow you. They were just staring in that one direction.
Good. It's not some following painting bullshit.
And as you touch the tree, it feels like your head catches fire. Like, the pain is immense. And then you black out. And as you awaken, you find yourself in quite a large room decorated with elvish furniture.
Okay, that was trippy. What am I, like... Am I just on, like, a bed? Or am I on, like,
You're on, like, a large bed, and you can tell it's open because it must be at least like 12 foot long and 12 foot wide. It's massive.
Eli's just, small.
It screams elven.
Like, Eli's just in the middle, like, whap.
It just screams elven.
Probably. Does it look like there have been any other people coming in and out?
No, this room is absolutely spotless. Whoever looks after this is paid well.
What the fuck is this? I'm still not sure this isn't a dream, so... Is there like a door or a window out?
There's a door and there's some curtains which you're guessing are blocking a window.
I'd like to pull the curtain to see if I can see out the window.
As you pull the curtains open, you're greeted with just what looks like a weird black and purple and gold aura that sort of block any sight out of the window.
Ah. Okay, that's unsettling.
It all but makes you feel nauseous looking at this for too long.
Okay, let's try the door. We'll deal with vomit window later.
As you head towards the door, a dark elf walks through the door, donning a beautiful gown, and she looks at you excited. You're awake.
Who are you?
That doesn't matter. My master is waiting for you. He's had dinner all prepped for you.
I died.
You know, but you're now in the staff. It's an unfortunate turn of events, but he has a plan for you.
Oh, great.
As she points over to a wardrobe over there, if you wish to change, which he's hoping you will, there is a fine selection of elvish or even human woven if you want to dress up for this evening.
If he wants me to wear a dress, he can jog on.
But that's what he's requested.
Do I look like I care?
You're an intimidation.
Do I look like I give a shit? 16.
She backs off. Okay, you don't want to wear anything.
I put on a clean shirt and that's it.
So you're leaving the room and heading down the corridor?
Yeah, I'd probably go where she's gesturing. I take it I don't have any of my weapons.
No, you're completely clean cut, yeah.
All I have is a shirt I've put on, my usual, and fist wrappings.
Yeah, basically.
Do I have the necklace? Or has that gone too?
That's gone too.
I'm grumpy now.
Currently, in this state, your armor class is only 10, so
right.
That's just a heads up for you at the moment. As you walk down the corridor, you find yourself in a massive dining room. It's surrounded by white marble walls and floors. There's red velvet carpets and a beautiful oak furniture. And a massive fireplace that's easily 20 foot tall as a big fire rages in it. And the table is lined with all kinds of different foods. There's vegetables, all kinds of cooked meats, plenty of wine.
I'd probably look at whoever is sat at the table.
No one's sat there yet.
I take it there are other entrances to this room.
There is one other entrance, yes.
I'd probably take a seat, like take one of the seats, drag it back a little bit and sit in it and stare at the other door. I'm not eating the food until I see that it's not bloody poisoned.
Okay, about 2 minutes later, a purple-eyed Kalashtar walks through the door, dressed in a fine tunic. This was the Kalashtar you saw in the first vision.
Oh, you were the one that stood over my dead friend's call.
Yes. What a shame it is you're here. Please, help yourself to some food.
I mean, technically I already died once, so I don't think you're going to poison me.
No, you can't die here anyway. You don't age in here either. So,
well, you know, cheaper than moisturizer, I guess.
What wine would you like? We have Elvish, Drow, Kalashtar, all kinds of types.
I don't tend to drink.
Suit yourself. And he pours himself some red wine from the bottle that's written in a language that you're guessing the Kalashtar's made. Can you roll me a history check quickly?
Yes, I can. 12.
It's a bit weird seeing a Kalashtar because they, according to history, they died out about 40,000 years ago after their home was consumed by an eruption. But they have been around basically hundreds of thousands of years before then. So it's a bit odd to see one here. Please, help yourself to any food. I don't mind. It's all prepared for you.
A lion makes a sandwich.
I suppose introductions are a foot, aren't they?
I mean, I guess I would say I'm sorry for not dressing up, but I'm not.
No, it's a shame. I try. It's formal as well.
Your staff seemed perturbed that I refused.
Yeah, we don't have many, so Ruby doesn't really know how to answer stuff. Answer, I guess, these days.
I mean, it's hard to. I found people find it hard to argue with me.
Yes, so I should suppose I explain. Yes, alright. My name is Avius. You are currently in the staff that you found.
Interesting.
There is a good reason for that. Normally, you would have been dead after what happened.
Yeah, but tearing people's heads off tends to kill them.
But because of your ancestors' connection to my staff, that is how you've ended up here.
Hmm.
Would you care for a history lesson? Hopefully this might make more sense to you then.
Sure, why not? Let's find out the world.
Well, just over 500,000 years ago, me and my two apprentices made quite the discovery. We found a mineral that they was known as Leviathus. If mixed with other chemicals, it created powerful magic, which we used to make the staff. My apprentices were an elven man and a human woman. The elf took control of the staff and used it to trap me inside it.
Sounds like a dick.
Belladera, he was a good man, but twisted when he realized the power he could have. And my other apprentice, who stopped him, her name was Marionette Celia, if that rings a bell to you.
It was on one of the gravestones.
Yes, her and the companion, the heroes of old. They saved us all, but unfortunately, her ties to the staff have kept me locked in it for all these years. I don't age, I don't need to feed, just sat here waiting.
How come you've connected with me then?
The staff requires a connection to use. Your ancestor had a connection to it, which is drawn down the bloodline that your family has held. So you finding the staff has ended up giving you a connection to it.
It's only on my mother's side, which is why if Adam picked it up, it wouldn't do anything.
No. The staff isn't asleep until you awoken it. It's still not usable, but That is what saved you. Your connection to the staff is what brought you here, rather than sending you down to Barbas.
I'll go down there eventually.
Yes, maybe, but it's not the time yet. In fact, I have an offer for you.
I'd be lying if I said I wasn't interested.
I can remove you from the staff, bring your soul back to your body, and give you life once again.
Sorry, I just find it funny that I have a soul.
I've never understood dark humor of humans.
You commit enough dark acts, it kind of becomes your only humor source.
I am willing to bring you back to life. In your terms. You will help me. These visions you're seeing, I want to fix this world. When the elves and the dragonborns caused the great collapse, there was an imbalance of magic that is killing this world. You might not see it, but in a couple hundred years, this world will be nothing. It'll be dead. Nothing can live here, poisoned by its own magic. And I need to fix that. After all, the staff was my creation. The magic outburst that it caused when they tried to help themselves to more power, the staff disrupted that, ripped all the continents apart. The sea levels rose because of it. The staff is far more powerful than my research ever showed.
So that's the cataclysmic event I keep seeing.
Yes, the event that gave us a world covered in sea and nothing but islands. Back in my time, it was 7 great continents, all different kingdoms. A much peacefuler place than what we've got today.
I mean, everything's more peaceful than what we have right now.
And I intend to bring it back. But there are things that stand in the way.
Like being trapped inside a magic stick?
Yes, in this war, this cult, they need to go.
I mean, I agree with you on that.
Yes, this cult is just a plague on the world. And this war, don't even get me started on that.
I don't have many ties in the war, honestly.
You are given a position to end it, if you want. Because right now, your friends have been captured, I fear.
What for?
Your friend, your companions, apart from Reed, aren't in any trouble, it's just Reed.
Oh, it's always Reed.
Yes. But you could get on her side. If you're willing to do what I believe she's going to ask you to do, you can pull off that, and then assist in ending this war, while I track down this cult, and you can deal with them as well.
Would be nice to go for a round two with Powdercake without Kane intervening.
And then, what we need to focus on is awakening the staff. Because I did have 3 apprentices, but one of them tried. Did an experiment. He tried to use the staff without a supporting source. And it killed her very painfully.
Lovely.
We created a gauntlet using the same material that the staff is powered with, and it acts as a counterbalance. The staff is then usable with it. But I do not wish for this gauntlet to fall into the cult's hands, which is why all of this needs to be dealt with before you can collect it.
Fair enough, we barely got away with nicking the staff before them.
The cult's small in numbers these days, but the remaining members are not to be trifled with, or not to be so easily dealt with.
Yeah, I met Riley. She's a piece of work.
And she's a lot more powerful than you can imagine.
She's still a bitch.
But there is an issue we have to deal with. I am giving you this offer, and you will help me. But if you do not, I will take your soul back. And you will remain dead after that. I will not give you a second chance if you defy my rule.
So your rule is do this task thing that will help stop the war, get the gauntlet, stop the cult, awaken the staff, etc.
Yes, and then I can awaken myself from the staff and I can fix the damage that the elves and the dragons caused those years ago.
And as long as my actions are working towards one of those goals, I am following your rule.
Yes, and I don't care who has to die.
Okay, good, because if you were going to be like, oh yes, you must do it through peace and harmony, we would have an issue.
Oh no, I've longed to murder plenty of people once this is over.
Well, you know, got to start somewhere. I accept your terms.
That is good. I appreciate that. But
well, you brought me back from the dead.
Yes. There is one thing that I will do. Come here quickly.
Alright. Well, I'll like walk over and be like, what up?
He stands up to his full height, and he's fairly tall. He's about 6.5 foot tall.
Jesus.
And he pulls a branding tool out the side of the table that glows hot with fire.
You want to do the other shoulder?
No. Kneel and close your eyes.
Alright, but no funny business.
Just show you can't stack inspiration.
Eli'll do that, but just gives him a look like I'm watching you.
He starts chanting in that language you heard at the Colosseum. And then he places the brander underneath your eye, just underneath your eye. And you feel it burn into your skin.
Oh, you son of a bitch!
You take only 1 point of fire damage.
That's fine.
As he pulls it out.
Staying still and swearing.
Perfect. This is your connection now. If I wish to talk to you or see through your eyes or do anything, the brand is there.
This will be fun to explain to people.
Now,
I got a tattoo. Fuck off.
Now, I will allow you to return. And he opens a portal on the other side of the room that leads into the sewers.
Is that when you said my friends had gone?
Before a friend. Well, they're not a friend, but they assisted unintentionally into making this happen, so I would consider them a friend. Fun brought them over to you, brought them over to fear. So they're a friend, in a way.
Okay.
They assisted in making all this possible.
I'm sure they'll send you a card.
Right, now return back to that world. And the sooner I can leave this place, the sooner the fixing can begin.
Fair enough. Bye, I guess?
He doesn't say anything to you, he just stares.
Okay, I'm going. Just stop staring at me, it's creepy. I get it, I'm in your service, but like, Jesus.
The dark elf pokes around the corner and waves goodbye.
Bye.
And as you
go through a portal.
As you walk through the portal, your vision flashes white. And you smell the sewer hit you as you open your eyes and find yourself laying on the floor next to a crap filled water, basically.
Yep, this is about what I thought it would be.
So, what do
I mean, first of all, if I poke the bit under my eye to see if it's still there or if I hallucinated it.
Yeah, it's burning. I'm going to send you some photos because there has been a few transformations.
Oh, whoa.
The brand you've got under your eye is quite small. It sits in between, like, in the space between the top of your bottom of your eye and the end of your nose. It doesn't go further down than that. The brand looks a bit like this, which is the same brand that you saw on the door in episode 3 to the tomb. And not only that, is it, if when you touch your face, you notice your skin has gone as white as snow.
Oh god, I'm a noble.
it's not like a noble white. Nobles are very pale. This is, it's not like a pale skin tone. It's like completely white. It's not human at all.
Well, I mean, they'll have to redo my wanted posters. I'm a different shade.
And just for plot convenience, as you look to the side, there's a broken mirror that someone's thrown down here, and your eyes have changed too.
Whoa.
Your eyes now look like this.
Ooh, edgy. Whatever, I look like a cat.
Whatever he's done to you, it's been a physical transformation as well.
Oh, this is gonna confuse everybody.
And over on the other side of the water is a Azamar holding a glaive. The boss man said you'd be here, so welcome. My job's to get you out of the sewers.
Good to meet you, I guess.
Name's Brawl.
A lie.
Right. Boss man doesn't want you to die, so I need to get you out of here.
I mean,
you might want this, though. And he throws you over your glaive. You can keep that, by the way. It's a present from Avius.
Mm, nice. Monks didn't let me have any of these.
Our monks are full of shit.
I mean, yeah.
Right. Shall we get going? As he points down the pathway of the sewers.
I mean, sure. It's not like I have anywhere else to be.
Alright. So, I was told to, if you had any questions about what the fuck is going on, I'm happy to answer them, if I can, that is.
I mean, honestly, it's, from what I understand, it's fairly reasonable. I'm just, like, is this, this will sound strange, is this the same, like, time frame as when I died?
That, I don't really know when you died, if I'm honest. I'm his right-hand man that just hangs around in this world, basically.
I mean, when did you last hear an earthquake?
About over six, seven weeks ago, which is the correct time frame for the staff.
Wow, it has been a while. Well, I won't run into anyone that recognizes me here, so.
To be exact, just out of context, quickly. Also, you collected the staff, you're out for a few days, and you sailed for 6 weeks. So, your death's only been about, you've only been dead about a day, basically.
And you said, the little one, Reed, has been arrested or something?
Yeah, the boss man asked me to test them, so I beat the shit out of all of them.
Fair enough. You managed to make any blood on... Did you get any blood on the turtle guy?
A fair bit of it.
Nice.
And he grins as he holds out a rope with 4 blooded teeth on it.
Nice!
He told me to test them. He said I couldn't kill them, but he told me to test them to make sure they were worthy.
Fair enough. I mean, I've wanted to take a few of Picasso's teeth a few times.
Anything else?
Why are there 4? Oh wait, there would be 4 of them, because I'm dead. No, it's okay.
Oh. Alright. So, what do we have here? And as you approach the end of this tunnel, in a big pit, you see two of these lovely, beautiful things.
Fear.
One of them's eating the corpse of a large animal, and the other one's just prowling around. You're guessing he's already eaten, covered, judging by the blood that's around his jaws.
Bad dog.
You want to test out your new warlock powers?
Wait, I get...
Obviously it's a patch, you idiot.
Mate, I've been a death monk for my entire life.
Well, now you get to know a beautiful thing known as magic. Painful magic. Magic that hurts people.
Yeah, sounds up my alleyway.
Oh, and just to note, as you look down, you do notice that your amulet is also back.
Oh! Nice. Yeah, I kind of pointed it. I'm like, this is the only magic I've used thus far, so this will be fun.
Alright then. I'm just going to ask you to roll for initiative as he jumps down and draws his longsword, and I'm guessing you follow forth.
Yeet!
Okay, they rolled like shit.
I have a 14.
Okay, so you're going first. Wolves going second. And then big wolf boys are going down in the book. So hopefully I don't forget. I mean, there's only initiatives, so hopefully.
If you manage to miss my go, well, I'm the only player here. I swear
so,
to God.
So we're starting with brawl. Oh, wait, no, I mean, we're starting with a line. What do? There is okay. Two wolves that have now both noticed you and are ready to combat.
Come here, little shits. Okay, I'm gonna do. Ally is going to try something. I'm gonna combine monk and warlock, because that's some of the spells I picked that make cool shit.
Okay.
So I'm gonna use Green Flame Blade, which is my cantrip. And I make a melee attack with my glaive against a creature. On a hit, does the normal damage, and also green fire leaps from the target to another creature that's next to it.
Okay, so is it just an attack roll, or do I need to roll?
I need to hit it first. If I miss, this is real awkward. Oh, that's 22 in total.
Oh yeah, that hits him twice over.
I'm just like, bonk! Oh shit, I forgot. My glaive is a d10. Fear my angry smacking. That is 6 plus 4, so that's 10 piercing. And then let's see what Green Flame Blade does. There we go. So it does fire damage equal to my ability, and because I need this one, so it gets 3 fire, and then it gets another 5 fire because higher levels.
3 fire and then 5 fire, so
takes 8 fire.
8 fire. That hurt. Anything else on your turn?
As my bonus action, I'm gonna do a new thing I have, because I picked Hexblade as a warlock. I mean, I'm a monk, I like hitting things.
That's fair.
Which allows me to use Hexblade's curse. So as my bonus action, I can curse a creature I can see for 1 minute. I will add my proficiency bonus to damage rolls. My attack rolls will score a critical hit if I get a 19 or a 20. And if it dies whilst cursed, I get my health back equal to Warlock plus Charisma.
That's solid, okay.
Yeah, literally just the brand like glows. And I'm like, yeah, let's go, baby boy.
The brand as you're getting into proper combat with the glaive, the brand does start to glow, and for extra edging, it's a bit of like magical darkness or just falls off of your hands while you're holding the staff, while you're holding the glaive. Like, it's heavier than the air around it.
I just have this really evil grin on my face.
Yeah, basically. You look evil as fuck at this point.
Yeah, I've cursed the one that I set on fire.
Okay, yeah. He's on fire. I'm going to take him before fire damage. This is the end of your turn. I regret making him take 1d4 fire damage. Okay, so is that the end of your turn?
Yes, because I used the cantrip, I don't get martial arts.
Okay, it's now Rolby's turn. Let's see, what is he going to do? He is going to attack the wolf, he will attack as well. And screw it, let's deduct the 5 from the roll. Okay, that's a crit.
Let's deduct a 5. Oh.
Let's see. That is 2d6. Yeah, he swings at it, cutting its tail clean off and doing 25 points of slashing damage.
Damn.
Let me get down to that. And he's going to end his turn there as he just sort of like kicks the tail out of the way and the big wolf screams in pain.
Just pumps the fucking tail.
And it's now the turn of the big wolf that just screamed, and they are going to bite you, Clyde. What is your armor class?
It's now 17.
They're going to take 2 bites.
Because I've got plate armor now.
One is a miss, but the other one is a crit.
Come at me!
Let's see. 4d10 piercing damage. I shouldn't have rolled that. Those are 2d100s. You would have taken about 180 damage there. Fuck, what? Okay, what's your maximum HP?
44 right now.
Okay, you take 32 points of piercing damage.
Rude.
As they bite onto your arm and sort of dislocate it from its tail, from its joints. As
I just got this back.
And it's now the other wolf's turn, and they're going to attack Roll because I prefer not to kill you.
I die again. God damn it.
Oh, that is a +7, so that does hit. 4d10. Make sure I don't roll d100s this time.
You kill everyone.
Still 24 points of damage. I mean, his HP is 150, so definitely wouldn't go.
Yeah.
Okay, so it is now your turn again.
Okay, well, let's do this. So, I'm going to, first of all, I'm very annoyed about getting
your arm
half ripped off.
If you want, you can use your bonus action to lock your arm back in. Otherwise, you are going to roll at disadvantage for melee.
It's fine, because I'm doing my first... I'm going to do a double-beamed Eldritch Blast. Because I could do that! Oh, Eldritch Blast. Eldritch Blast on the one I cursed.
Okay, so roll attack.
Come here, little shit. I'm very annoyed. That's a 19, which means I get a critical hit with curse. Haha! Right, so that's... Where's my d10? There it is. Proficiency, because
yeah,
it's gonna be a lot to remember for me.
It's why I'm so hesitant to multi-class Charlie.
Yes,
there's so much stuff.
So 7, 12, And then 38.
Okay, yeah, that hurts.
I just burned like his fur off.
Yeah, as you shoot him in the face with an Eldritch Blast, his entire face disintegrates and he dies.
Molfest.
Drops to the floor dead. And Brawl gives you a really amused look, like he found that brilliant, you see. Speaking of Brawl, it is his turn.
Yeah, my bonus action was just putting my arm back in.
And because of his position, he is also going to Eldritch Blast. 18, so that does hit. Why not make it agonizing? That's 15 points of damage as he blasts it in the face. And let's see, yeah. Okay, so he blasts it in the face with his Eldritch Blast, and the wolf does step back. It is going to make an attack. Let's see. Is going to bite him and then bite you. They both miss. He swings at Brawl, who does like literally like a barrel roll underneath his legs and ends up on the other end. And then he comes to bite you, and you all but do a bloody backflip.
I'm like, no.
You've been given a new lease of life with this, whatever's happened. And it is back to you. What do?
Now this guy's in front of me now. Also, I got 2 whole points of health back from killing the last one. It's better than nothing. Because I've got my arm back into socket, we're gonna go... Yeah, we're just gonna go glaive. And then I will flurry of blows.
Roll to hit.
Because I'm mad. Okay, that is a 15 with the glaive. Okay, then we have a 15 for a punch and a 14 for a punch.
All of that hits.
Yeet, time for murder.
Once I'm running low armor glass. That's not quite dead, but that's all but dead. You just punch him in the face relentlessly, and every time you punch him, you knock another tooth out of his mouth.
Oh wait, I forgot something. Plus 9.
He's not dead. But
I forgot to add my proficiency for each damage roll.
He's not dead. But yikes.
But yikes. Big yikes.
He gets thrown back, and now it's the dude's turn. A beautiful way to end the fight with crime.
Murder it.
Rules runs up, sword in hand, and as he turns around and tries to swing him, he barrels out of the way and does like a jumps up in the air, basically doing a 360, slices the top half of Rules head clean off the body, landing next to it, seeing the collapse.
Nice.
A bit of training never helps.
Elijah's looking at her hands like, cool.
It's fun, isn't it?
Yeah, I've never incinerated someone with magic.
You get used to it. It starts getting boring, but it's fun.
I mean, I've been killing for several decades and that hasn't gotten old yet, so.
I can tell we're going to get a lot more when we work together.
The others will probably be less than thrilled.
Yeah. I mean, especially since I kicked their asses.
Yeah, but. Well, the only one who'd probably still be pissed about that would be Reed, but.
He's not much, just a quick kick to the face.
The others respect a good fight.
And
that's why I tolerated them.
And with that, as you start to walk, you go lightheaded again and fall to the floor. And you hear Avius's voice in your head. You just hear very quietly, it appears your body's not used to it yet. It needs a bit more work. Shut her down. And you black out.
Shut her down. Fuck off.
And then you awaken again inside what appears to be a bedroom, and sat in the corner waiting for you to wake is Lauren and Quinton. Lauren doesn't say anything, she just hugs you.
Like, you're real?
You can't imagine what you've been through. You look so different.
How long has it been since?
Well, the warehouse collapsed about 2 hours after you left the ship, and then we got attacked on the ship by the cult. We managed to get away with the staff, but not entirely well. Quinton points out that his left arm is gone.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's fine, the crew's alive, and we managed to keep the staff out of their grasp.
We knew it was a risk.
But we heard when Fan came and explained what they found, they informed that one of their companions was dead, and considering you never showed up, we assumed you were killed. But a Azamar came to the gate and just threw your body down by the front door and left.
Thanks, Brawl.
My dad is in the main room discussing tactics of fear, and they were saying when you wake up they'd like to speak to you.
Yeah, I guess they want some explanations. I kind of give Lauren a hug.
Yeah, she hugs you tightly. She's all but in tears.
I'm okay.
Okay. We're late.
I'm gonna get really sunburned now.
What happened? The brand, the weird eyes, the skin.
Let's just say I did die, and I made an agreement. Turns out keeping that staff safe was a good idea.
Quinton does grin a bit at that, because he's been adamant in not letting that staff out of the box. Right, we'll let you go and talk to Thea. She's just down the hall to the right.
Okay.
Lauren is a bit hesitant to let you go, but she does.
I kind of squeeze her hand before I walk off. I'm fine.
And as you head down the corridor, you come to what is two large doors, and you can hear talks behind it.
I guess I'll knock, because that's polite.
And Lauren's dad opens the door. Huh. It's good to see you again.
Hi.
Look a bit different.
Yeah, I'm still getting used to it myself, honestly.
Before we begin and talk about what's happening, I just have to say thank you for saving my daughter.
I wasn't going to let her die.
It means a lot.
I'm also not letting her get back together with Reed.
He seems relieved by that.
Did you know Reed tried to shoot me because he thought I was sleeping with your daughter?
He looks around and whispers, she's always preferred women.
I mean, we were just training as well, it wasn't even anything.
Glad to hear that.
Are they all still alive and okay?
So, they're being treated, because they were attacked down in the sewers, but they're alive.
Well, that'll be a fun conversation.
And sat at the other end of the table is Fia herself. She's quite typically elvish, like, she's stunning as all elves are, but she's very battle scarred and tired looking. You can tell just 90 years of war have been a lot.
Well, you must be Fia then.
Aye. You're the one who. Your companions who told you you were dead.
Yeah, I thought I was dead too for a while.
Then someone came to the door and dropped you off. Literally. They just dropped.
Yeah, that's Brawl. He got me out the sewers.
She sort of looks down, trying to think if she's heard the name before. No, not heard that name before. We'll have to do an investigation on it, see if we can find who it is. So, my companion said that you beat Powder Keg?
I mean, he escaped through a portal, but...
A portal. Cult that we assumed was dead, these portals.
Oh, they're not dead.
Farm, his name is. Doesn't make any sense. I put a sword through his gut and watched him bleed out.
Yeah, well, he's a resilient. Cain rescued him.
Oh, a boy, a red brand.
He's also the one that apparently killed me.
You look like someone who's come back from the dead, to be fair.
I mean, I'm not normally this pale.
Who brought you back? If you don't mind my asking. I'll drop the question if you're not comfortable asking that.
No, I think they'd want someone who's interested in ending the war. Kind of my patron now.
Patrons seem to be getting a bigger problem these days, but sometimes we all need their help. And she sort of pulls her shirt to the side and shows the brand that she has. Not the same brand as you, but it is a different brand. Nonetheless.
I mean, I just think they all want to add to my collection of brands. I've already got one, now I have another one.
So Powder Kegs, from what I've heard, going over Fan's notes, Powder Keg is planning an assassination with his cult at a ball I'm holding tonight to mark the new year.
Oh, that's tonight.
8 hours away, to be exact.
That's gotta be fun.
It is, because I can't exactly turn my guests away, because they arrived here yesterday. But I'm willing to make you an offer.
Okay.
If you can find Powder Keg and kill him for tonight, you and your friends will be highly rewarded. I know he's a hard fight. I've excelled that many have died trying to beat him, but you could beat him once. I'm sure you could beat him again.
I mean, I owe him a death at this point.
Everything seems to blacken a bit, and you hear Avius again. You know, if it helps, Brawl could assist you in that fight. He's more than capable of killing him.
That would be helpful. Also, is there anything you want me to say to Thea?
No, keep it quiet for now.
Okay. I'll let him.
And the world sort of comes back to life. Are you alright?
Yeah, just... It's when you've been dead for a bit, it's a bit hard to readjust.
I can't even imagine. Your companions are locked up downstairs. I don't have any quarrel with the others, just rude. Who, being a red brand, assisted in us losing this war.
A red brand?
Yes, he was.
He told me he sailed with them for passage.
He may have sailed with them, but he still assisted in them. After all, Powder Kegs, if you sail with Powder Keg, you do what he commands.
I mean, the fact he needed passage was the only reason I didn't kill him for knowing Powder Keg.
Powder Keg, Reed, and Kana, the only living Red Brands left. The rest have either been killed by me or Rourke, because both sides have quarrels with them.
Steve. I'd argue Kane's not really living. I mean, he wasn't... I met him when I was a kid. He wasn't that strong. I bit off his fingers, and now he's capable of ripping my head off.
It's concerning.
And regrowing fingers and being somewhat immune.
Hope it sounds vampire.
Maybe. Might be why the vampire hunters were there.
Hmm. Right. I am willing to give you and all your friends, not you, because you're fine, but your friends that get out of jail free card if they're willing to assist in taking Powder Keg down.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I'll offer this to Reed as well, despite the fact he assisted in us losing the war, but sometimes I think it's his own stupidity rather than intention.
Well, at this point, one of my end goals is to end the war, and despite being called the captain, he answers to me.
Sounds like Reed. Right, I will lead you to your companions, where we can explain what is happening.
Yes.
And with that, that is where this episode is going to end. So, Caitlin, where can we find you?
Well, if you want to find me in my living form, that is, my regular self, I write articles about video games and mental health at themindgame.org, which is also where I put my campaign, in which no one's died yet, but, you know,
yet.
Depends how much they piss me off.
Yet is the important note in all of this.
At Caitlin RC, look at my cats. K-bye.
And also, you can find me at Spiderbread UK. You can find our main show at Dungeon Game Junkies Pod. And you can find this ever-growing collection of manners at Dungeon Junkies. Hi, Alex. And this is Dungeon Junkies. We'll catch you next time.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. I was waiting for a kaboom.
We were waiting for a kaboom, but you never get one with me.
No, kaboom.
You just get screamed.
This podcast was brought to you by me, Alex, in conjunction with Visionaries Global Media and Matt Attack Productions.